Morning, Nashville. We are now just 12 hours from the next big debate, and this could be a fairly consequential debate. 6 minutes past 7 o'clock, we'll get to our debate roundtable in just a moment. A Beacon Capital Management market snapshot sees Dow futures up 5, Nasdaq futures up 4, oil up 66 cents at 45.25, gold up $5 at 11.07, an ounce in the 10-year bond yielding 2.28, that is down one tick. Our roundtable includes in the studio Jeff Hartline, longtime GOP political consultant, one-time political candidate. We have on the phone Michael Patrick Leahy, who is a Breitbart contributor and was introduced me at my last stop on my Second Amendment tour. And we also have on the phone Marianna Leahy, no relation to Michael, the real smartest woman in the world, Marianna Leahy. Good morning, all of you. I'm going to start with something. I'm only going to play one piece of sound during the whole hour, and this is Charles Krauthammer talking about what might trip up Donald Trump.
If Carson surpasses him, Trump won't like that. Trump divides the world into winners and losers. He's the winner, and up until now, he's winning every poll. If he begins to fall behind to Carson, and you can see how irritated he is, but I think if Carson pulls ahead, even if it's a point or two, that's going to be hard on Trump. And that's where I think he goes after a guy who is so likable that going after him, calling him a so-so doctor, I think that could be something that could hurt him.
So Donald Trump, because he's ahead, has the most to lose. Will that change his demeanor in this debate? Let's start with Marianna.
Oh, my goodness. No, I think he's going to try to keep it together. The people who go after him probably are going to be Rand Paul and Fiorino, and I think he might turn on Rand Paul for sure. But I don't think he's going after he has kept his powder really dry, I think, on Carson so far.
So he'll be Mr. Nice Guy then?
I believe so.
Okay. Jeff?
Yeah, I think Trump, because he's so far ahead right now, he has no reason to go after anybody. He just needs to continue to say all the things that he's been saying over and over and over again, because that's getting him 20, 30 points in the polls.
Yeah. Michael, he's a natural wise guy, though. Can he resist? Can he avoid doing that?
Well, part of the fun of Donald Trump is you never know exactly what he's going to say. He doesn't really have that much of a filter, which makes it interesting. That's why a lot of people like him. That's why people have been predicting he's going to blow himself up. I agree with Marianna and Jeff, though. He's more likely to be constrained. I mean, this whole debate is about, will Donald Trump blow up and who will help him blow up? And I think he's more likely to be a little disciplined.
Guy number two, Ben Carson. When I think of him, the thought that came to my mind yesterday as I was creating this list, he's the deer who's staring. He's not a deer in the headlights. He's a deer staring down the headlights. He doesn't seem to belong there, but he is. And it's everybody else that's in trouble, not him. Jeff.
Well, no. I mean, Carson is a confident man. I mean, he's come from
not
nowhere.
A con man, but a
no, he's very confident man, but he's a very humble man. And this is what people
is
like about him.
Oh, is he, or is this his shtick?
No. I think okay. That's the guy that you see there who rose to the heights of his profession. Regardless of what Donald Trump thinks about his profession, he is a capable, incredibly brilliant man. And he's had to be somewhat strategic in his career in order to navigate the waters of surgeons. And if anybody's been in the medical field like I've been, you know, surgeons are sometimes difficult to deal with. This guy is very accomplished.
Does this accomplishment and niceness make him invulnerable to negative campaigning, Marianna?
You know, I think Trump has already given us a heads up on what he's going to do and with regard to Carson, and that is to simply say he's not got that experience. He's not got the negotiating experience. He's not got the art of the deal. It's not part of his repertoire. It was never necessary to be for the profession he was in. And so he lacks that experience, and it takes a lifetime of experience in order to be competent at that. Carson's always great at saying, I've got a brain, as if that's the answer to everything. And I think Trump's going to make that look like that's not a sufficient answer.
Michael, Mr. Carson or Dr. Carson has been telling people, you know, he's not just a doctor. He's also got other experience, including sitting on corporate boards. Is that going to help or hurt him? Or can anybody, including Trump, use that against him?
Well, you raise a good point about this sitting on corporate boards thing. That's not being a business guy. Trump is a business guy. Now, he was born into a quite successful company, but he made it a spectacularly successful company. Ben Carson sitting on a board, especially Jeb Bush sitting on board. My goodness, what is that?
That makes them part of the problem, right?
Exactly right. They're basically influence peddling. Oh, maybe not so much with Carson, but clearly with Bush. That guy doesn't know anything about business except how to cash a check.
Is this Jeb Bush's last chance to shed his father's wimp image? We're going to go there next with our roundtable this morning. We're going to take frequent breaks, ladies and gentlemen, so please hang in there with us as we do. And I will try to get everybody on hold instead of dumping you when we go to break. So if you hear me disappearing, that means we accidentally dumped you and call back. But we hope that doesn't happen. It's almost 7:18, Nashville Morning News. Back with our roundtable, Michael Patrick Leahy, Jeff Hartline, and Mariana Leahy. All of the above are still assembled. And let's get back to it. Scott Walker needs the biggest bounce to get back to his starting point. Can he and how can he find his mojo? Michael Patrick Leahy.
Boy, that is the question. You know, Ralph, I have a friend in the PR business who is representing Walker's PAC, and every day I get at least two emails about Walker's latest policy proposals. And, you know, I just hit the Somonex button when I get to, when I get those emails. Now, he does have a really good proposal about banning public unions. I like that idea. But, you know, his quote, persona is so bland and boring. I don't see how Walker can break through tonight.
Mariana, can Scott Walker elbow his way back into the front runner?
No, he can't.
Leader page?
If he hasn't managed to do it yet, I don't see how he can. He's not forceful enough. He doesn't have any of the tricks of this trade at all in sufficient amount to make himself stand out. That's part of his problem. He has neither the chutzpah nor the killer policy that everyone's just dying for. So I don't see him with any real strength.
Jeff has been doing some nodding over here.
Well, it's just a total surprise to me. I mean, the presidential sweepstakes got kicked off, you'd have thought Scott Walker owned the thing. Everybody's coming in behind him, members of the General Assembly in Tennessee.
The Koch brothers were going to back him. I don't know if they ever did or not, but they were going to back him.
I have no idea, but he's bad on the three areas that I wrote down this morning: management, media, and messaging. And that's what Trump is doing well. Carson is doing well. He's doing poorly. I don't know how he gets back in.
Jeb Bush was
Ralph,
yes, go ahead.
Can I say something?
Yes.
This was supposed to be the year of the governors. You know, everybody was supposed to be upset about inside the Beltway. And when you have the lead governor, Jeb Bush, having such a bad showing, I think it has dragged down the sense that governors are the answer to anything. And so Christie, Walker, and, of course, Jeb Bush are suffering from that.
Jeb Bush might have been, but he inherited his father's wimp image, and he's perfected it. Can he shed that, Jeff?
Bush is suffering from the same thing Hillary Clinton's suffering from, and that's 100% name ID. I mean, there's not anybody out there that's trying to decide really what they think about Jeb Bush. They either don't like Bush or they do like him. And he's nothing right now. He's not making any progress. He's not showing himself to be anything other than really his dad and his brother, and that's just go along to get along.
Can he change that with any of the tens of millions of – I mean, he's got $100 million or more to spend. Michael, if he hits the airways with all that money, can he change that image?
Well, I kind of disagree, Ralph, with your characterization that he's inherited this wimpiness from his father and brother. I don't think his brother was all that.
I didn't say his brother. I said his father.
Well, and you know, his father's – quote, persona may have been a little wimpy in some regards, but look at what the guy did. At the age of 19, he was a fighter pilot hero.
I know,
World
but
War
his. Yeah, he's the last thing from a wimp, but he still had that wimp image. I don't. Yeah. Jeb Bush probably isn't a wimp either.
No, Jeb Bush is a wimp. You go to the dictionary and look for the definition of wimp, and there's a picture of Jeb Bush.
Okay.
He is so boring and so passive. He's afraid of crowds. You remember when he came here to have that summit with Lamar Alexander?
Yeah.
He would not deign to talk to people.
I have to stop again. I'm sorry. We have to do this a lot during this program, and that's just the way that it works. So let's see there we go. I don't put people on hold a lot. So, and we'll continue with Ted Cruz. Now, I'm probably being too tough on Ted Cruz. I say he's got to do more than just hold Trump's coat after a right now traffic update coming your way in a little bit. I've got up my debate roundtable gathered here. Michael Patrick Leahy, Breitbart correspondent. We've got political consultant Jeff Hartline, and we've got citizen pundit Mariana Leahy, a manager of the home office of Nashville's Morning News, with us on the phone. Mariana and Michael Patrick, and Jeff is in the studio. Thank you all for your patience, and welcome back. I said Ted Cruz has to do more than just hold Trump's coat. I think he's been doing a lot of that lately, and I think it's about time for him to break out and be on his own. Jeff Hartline, am I being too hard on Ted Cruz?
I think Ted's strategy is impeccable here. There's no reason to get into a fight with Trump, with the kind of media that he's got right now and the way that he's seen him react to other candidates. There's a lot of time here. He's still raising money. He's still growing his own persona. I don't see any reason for him to get into a fight with Trump. In fact, if he watched Rand Paul in the last debate, he realizes that's a bad idea, especially on the national stage.
Mariana, if you were Ted Cruz on the stage tonight, what position would you take in this food fight that CNN's going
to create? He's not going after Trump. I think he is Trump's ideologically sound alter ego. That's how he sees himself. He's the person he hopes is going to be standing after people decide it's time to stop registering their discontent. Because I really think that's what Trump's vote is all about now. People are just, they realize he's a little weak on the issues and on the substance and on the consistency and a whole bunch of other things. But they are so interested to register their discontent with what's going on that they continue to poll for Trump. But I think Ted Cruz thinks that he's going to be there standing when that phenomenon is over.
Michael, what do you expect out of Ted Cruz tonight?
Well, I agree with Mary Anna's analysis, and I think about what Cruz is and isn't going to do. There's no reason for him to get into a fight. I also agree with what Jeff said, that CNN is looking to try and create a food fight here. If Ted gets into a food fight with Donald Trump, there's going to be a mess all over him and Trump, and that doesn't help either of them.
Carly Fiorina has reached, I think, the intersection of put up or shut up. Does this have to be the night that she's got to prove she belongs on the big stage? Mariana.
This clearly is what everybody's waiting for, to see how she reacts. Her history is a little sketchy here, Ralph. You know, she's got this story, this supposedly compelling story of how she rose from a secretary. She was a secretary for a real estate company after she dropped out of law school. So that was just a very temporary stay while she looked for something else. She didn't start as a secretary. And she had a $21 million golden parachute when she screwed up at Hewlett-Packard. I think she's vulnerable on several issues, whether Trump has enough background knowledge to attack her when she attacks him will be the only interesting thing, I think, going on in the food fight side, other than, you know, the people have nothing to lose, like Rand Paul and Scott Walker.
Michael, what do you expect out of Carly Fiorina?
You know, I think she's not going to attack Trump as strongly as those who are showing sort of between 1% and 3%. It doesn't really help her to attack Trump that much. She's looking for Trump to stumble, and if he does, she will be all over it. But, you know, I just don't think that she benefits by coming off as sort of an attack chihuahua like Rand Paul.
All right, we're going to have to stop there, and we'll start with Jeff on the other side. We'll finish up with Carly Fiorina and move on to Rand Paul after that and after the news on Super Talk 99.7. Capital Management Market Snapshot. Dow futures down 10, NASDAQ futures down 2. Oil is up 78 cents at 45.37. Gold up $6 at 11.09 an ounce, and the 10-year bond yielding 2.27. That is unchanged. Next market snapshot in 1.5 hour, courtesy of Beacon Capital Management, on the web at beaconcm.com. Back with our roundtable, Michael Patrick Leahy, Breitbart correspondent, Jeff Hartline, political consultant, and Mariana Leahy, manager of the home office of Nashville's Morning News, longtime citizen, pundit, and the real smartest woman in the world. Now, when we left off, Jeff had not yet had a chance to speak about Carly Fiorina and what he expects from her. So let's finish up with her before we move on to Rand Paul.
Well, Ralph, I want to hitchhike on the smartest woman in the world's statement a minute ago.
I do that all the time. Yeah, people don't notice, but I do. And she never gets the credit she deserves.
Well, it's a very prescient statement about voter discontent. You know, we were talking about the idea of Carson and Trump.
Yeah.
Two non-politicians being at the top of the polls. Carly Fiorina tonight just needs to ride that wave. She just needs to ride that wave to get herself into third place, because voters are telling us what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're telling us what they do want. So that's what I would do if I were her.
The one I'm voting most likely to go over the top is Rand Paul. Can Rand Paul find his yap, his voice tonight? Michael Patrick Leahy.
No. He's done.
Will he get hysterical in trying to get attention and trying to be critical? Because he's going to want to fight Trump. He wants to fight Trump. Bobby Jindal does too, but he doesn't get in the ring. So Rand Paul is going after him.
No question. I think it will backfire and he will look even sillier. That's my guess.
Jeff is nodding about it.
Absolutely.
Will backfire if he does?
You know, if you're a baseball coach, Rand Paul tried to attack him twice. In the first debate, right out of the chute, it was two strikes. If he attacks him tonight, it'll be three strikes, and he will be out.
So what else can he do, Mariana?
Well, he knows he will be out. And the interesting thing to me about Rand Paul, Ralph, is that he started his strategy of outreach and expanding the tent, and mostly to blacks. He was the one going around, like Eleanor Roosevelt, running around, going to all the colleges.
Quoting Archie Bunker here.
Yeah, well, Archie Bunker here. But he was running around everywhere trying to do this outreach to blacks. Unfortunately, Ferguson, Baltimore, I Can't Breathe, Hands Up, Don't Shoot, and Black Lives Matter has sunk that ship. And he's there without really what he thought was going to be the thing that separated him, this inclusiveness for this very significant number of people, and he was going to turn this around. Well, forget that. That is not going to happen. So I think he's one of those ain't got nothing to lose. So
Jeff is nodding.
Well, no, he rose to prominence fighting for the individual citizen. Where did that go? I mean, that was his way of connecting with the American voter, and for some reason he decided, well, I'm going to do something else.
Yeah. Given the left's move all the way to the left with Bernie Sanders, socialist Bernie Sanders, does that pull the middle to the left too in favor of John Kasich, perhaps? Jeff?
Kasich's his claim to fame is that he's from Ohio. That's it.
Well, that might matter later.
But I mean, how's he going to win in the South? How's he going to get those voters that weren't energized to go out and vote for Romney to come out and vote for Romney II? I just don't see it happening.
Well, people in Tennessee voted for Bob Corker and Lamar Alexander. People in Kentucky voted for Mitch McConnell. Is it crazy to think that some of the Southern primaries might go for John Kasich? Mariana?
You know, John Kasich, to me, is one of the biggest disappointments. He doesn't belong on this stage. He belongs on the stage with the Pope next week, because I think that's what he's running for. He's running for Pope. He wants to use America, the position, the money, to create his own salvation, it sounds like, when you listen to him. He's left to Bernie Sanders, in my opinion.
He might be. Michael, anything you want to add to that about John Kasich?
Well, there's one good thing you can say about John Kasich. Unlike his buddy Jeb Bush, he's not running for president of Mexico. So I think what's going to happen here is that as Jeb Bush's lifeless campaign continues to swirl the drain, Kasich will pick up the pieces of Jeb Bush's campaign and his supporters. He won't do that well in Iowa. He'll do pretty well finishing third or fourth in New Hampshire, and then he'll totally collapse in South Carolina.
By the way, if Jeb is president of Mexico, he might have some Americans move with him, because an analysis shows that 75,000 people have tweeted that they will move to Mexico if Donald Trump is elected president. And the other places that they will move to get out of the United States if Donald Trump is elected president include Alaska and Hawaii.
You know what, Ralph? I have a point to make here, and that is that if Jeb Bush just hangs on long enough, if he just waits past this cycle for another generation, he'll be able to stay right here in the United States and be president of Mexico if he runs again later.
Well, there you go. All right. When we come back, we'll get to the Who brothers, Chris Marco and Mike Who, here on Nashville's Morning News after a Right Now traffic update on Supertalk 99.7 WTN. 7:47 Nashville's Morning News. Our debate roundtable continues. Breitbart correspondent Michael Patrick Leahy, political consultant Jeff Hartline, manager of the Home Office Mariana Leahy, no relation to Michael Patrick Leahy. I'm up to the Who brothers. We've talked about Donald Trump, Scott Walker, Jeb Bush, Ted Cruz, Carly Fiorina, Rand Paul, and John Kasich, and now Chris Who is one of the Who brothers. Chris Christie keeps trying to discuss entitlements, and nobody cares. Michael, this is similar to all of those emails you're getting from Scott Walker. Nobody cares about his policy discussions. Nobody cares about Chris Christie's policy discussions. Can he get rediscovered tonight, Chris Christie?
When I think of Chris Christie and Marco Rubio and Mike Huckabee, I think of that great line from Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven, the movie. A man's got to know his limitations.
And they don't, huh?
Right. And they don't.
So of course, you've taken care of all of them, all the Who brothers, in one statement here.
That's exactly right. I mean, they're never going to get beyond 5%, 6% this election cycle. And they're not resonating, and nothing they're going to say is going to change it, because, as Mariana pointed out earlier, this is about people being fed up with Washington.
Okay, so we can try to get through the list. I'm going to go to Mariana for Marco. Marco Who? Has anybody even seen Marco Rubio in the last month, and will it make any difference when they see him tonight, Mariana?
You know, Ralph, he is so cute, and he is so articulate, and he is so in command of information, and he knows the players in the world, and he knows the policies. He knows it all. He is the complete package. However, he started out with an emphasis on out with the older generation, new ideas, fresh faces, not hearkening back to anything in the past. We needed people who are going to have a fresh face and take the new generation to take us forward. Well, guess what? Ben Carson, 64, Fiorina, 61, and Donald Trump just turned 69. Oops.
Yeah.
So the problem here for him is this thing that he thought was going to carry the banner for all the young guys, the young Turks. That would be Scott Walker, himself.
Ted Cruz.
You know, Mr. New Jersey there. All down the drain on that one. So, sorry.
Jeff Hartline, we've got Mike Who, if not for the Democrat county clerk in Kentucky on her fourth marriage, who's become the hero of part of the right flank, Huckabee would be invisible too. Is he going to find his mojo tonight?
Unbelievable.
You got to hit your red button there because Tommy didn't do that.
There you go.
There we go.
I'm flabbergasted at Huckabee's absence from the scene. I mean, except for what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
I will make a comment about the other two, if it's all right.
Sure.
Chris Christie can't win a state in the South. I don't even know why he's in this race.
Yeah.
I would love to see Marco Rubio, who I agree with Mariana, is the most articulate person in the race. His original sin was exactly what Trump used to his advantage, and that's illegal immigration. He came out on the wrong side of that subject, and so voters dismissed him right out of hand.
We've got just 2 minutes left and four people. Bobby Jindal, the latest to get in the rhetorical ring with Trump. Tonight he's not allowed in that ring. He's relegated to the ring with Lindsey Graham, George Pataki, and Rick Santorum, who's on his 22nd debate tonight. Mariana, of that group of people, is anybody going to make it back to the main stage or make it onto the main stage?
Well, you got two governors, and I've already spoken that the governors are out. So nobody's going to move up out of that crowd.
Yeah. Jeff is shaking his head, so you agree with that. There's no chance for any of these people to get noticed tonight.
I don't know why Graham and Pataki are even in the race. I mean, do they need another job? I mean, what's going on with that?
Michael, I'm going to give you the last word.
Well, Bobby Jindal is trying to throw his food at the kiddie table and reach the adult table with Donald Trump, but it's too long to go. Not going to happen.
It's the same table. They're going to be on this, I mean, and not very far apart. So it could be that a good punch thrown in an early debate could land on somebody and be carried into the next debate too. So that's the only thing we can watch for, is to see that happens.
Let's hope that Marco Rubio stays in the race long enough to beat Jeb Bush in Florida.
Okay. Mariana and Michael and Jeff, thank you so much for doing this with me. We're going to stop here, and in the next hour we'll get back on something else, or we'll let the audience weigh in on this. But thank you all so much for joining me on this.